Dírit agus fáilte go raibh letting it linger.
Na radio na letting it linger. Cos atá sibh.
We're here today with Rachel Kenny, a multidisciplinary artist based in Dublin, hailing from Cork. So we're super excited to be chatting with her today.
Absolutely.
And talking about her art,
everything, Cork, and everything. That is really
for having me. Yeah.
No, thank you for coming.
It's so cool in here. We're in a very cool
community. Yeah, I like so it. Lucky I like to it. Have I've never, like, this facility.
I feel like I'm on like
this is like
just like the biggest radio. Podcast ever.
It is the biggest podcast
you know,
ever.
I've had some people like come in here after you've interviewed them and be like, "This is like the girls' version of Joe Rogan."
Oh my god, literally. Oh my god. Yeah, I know. We're about like to take over.
My mom's obsessed with the two Johnnies, and it's like,
oh yeah, oh,
they're brilliant.
Two Johnnies, and
they're
here.
So good.
They're from Cork, aren't they? Those two lads.
Yeah.
No. That'd be class. Get them on. Two Johnnies, if you're listening in the car.
Since we only have an hour, we may as well jump into the questions now. Ooh. And that they sound very dramatic because they're very official.
Yeah.
Very professional.
I know.
I sent them to Rachel earlier. And
I was like, oh my God, why did I choose to be an artist?
Yeah. These are always the things that people ask.
I know, you get like philosophical questions. Yeah, and you're like, what do you mean?
I have to have an answer.
This is like proper, like you're leaving cert aura.
I know. It is. I have my strap victory like in my phone here.
But your strap victories are just gonna pull up your art. You're just phoning
your paper making art.
Yeah, just constantly referring to it like, oh crap, we're on the radio, I forgot.
So you said that you studied in UCD before and then LCAD. So can you share how your like background in philosophy, sociology and drama studies like influence your artistic processes? And like, do you still like draw on those?
I do. I was thinking of this on the way in and I was like, how? I was like,
yeah,
because it's like it's one of those things where like I feel like a lot of the time when I'm talking about my art, like I'm saying these things and like I know that it's true, I know why, but it's very hard to actually.
It is always hard to get it out, isn't
it? Yeah,
but
so I think, was trying to think. I was,
you
like,
know,
why?
In a way, like for me, so like my mom's an artist, and in like the way, because I feel like she has like not that she struggles, but like sometimes you know for her. Her way of like getting these emotions out is through her medium of art.
Yeah.
And it's probably the same with
that's
you.
That's actually exactly it. So I was thinking about it and I was like, I think that like we can talk about like the idea of like how we can communicate with each other and like everyone knows that you can communicate non-verbally. You can communicate with your eyes, you can communicate with like your body and stuff like that. And then I kind of realized for me the language of like art and the language of philosophy, I think they're just like they're the same thing to me because when I studied in UCD, like I remember they would act like we'd be in our tutorials and they would say like these like,
what was it that you studied again? Philosophy, sociology
and drama,
right?
Yeah, but it was like
degree.
It was so random.
I did a similar thing
like,
in UCD.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a philosopher.
Like sometimes,
I'm ready.
That's what I'm doing right now. English and philosophy. Yeah. But in UCD,
it's
I did
so nice,
like arts and humanities. Like I just did. I was doing like Greek mythology and then film
what
and then like German history.
What?
That's
mad.
An arts degree.
But I feel like like people who do those kind of degrees are always kind of creative.
Completely.
Artistically
as
well.
Yeah, but we're absolutely. Always like, I think we I think like for me anyway, I was definitely just too scared to jump into the world of like being a creative because I was
actual
so,
fine art.
Yeah, because I was so like, you know,
did
everyone
you have,
was
like that perception of like
it.
Where's that going to get you
in
life?
Because everyone told me. They were like,
is that
why
something?
Would you
is
do
it something
that?
You've always wanted to do like since you're a kid?
Were you
or
like, I'm so intrigued. Were you that like that kid that like you'd like have your crayons and you're like whoever be at home would be like, Rachel, you're drawing on those walls again.
Do you know what's actually really sad? Like, I loved art and I loved drawing and stuff, but when I was in school, I remember like. There was just no praise for like just being creative. It was like, does your drawing look like a person?
Yeah.
Does it look like
that's
a dog?
Why I dropped out of art.
Really? Yeah.
I guess I can't do it.
Getting a C in your still life of banana. That's not being creative.
Yeah.
I like making scrapbooks
like
and like rhino prints.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it?
They say like, oh, you're so talented if you can draw something accurately. That was my experience anyway.
Yeah. And I suppose like it is so interesting as well where I think for in like society in general, like I think a lot of us feel very like caged within the box, and for like our degrees and like your living career is like for everyone who is not in that box. you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. And, like, honestly, I feel like that shame does not leave. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that you definitely have to, like, continue.
Cross, like,
you have to continue like, living with it, thinking, like, you know...
Yeah.
You have those moments of being like, wait, crap. Like, what am I... Mm-hmm. Where am I going? What am I doing? You know? But...
Yeah. Do you think that, like, almost inspired you to, like...
Sorry.
She's having a moment.
It's all right.
She's just getting emotional.
Yeah, that's fine. God, I'm good at this.
God, there's art, these cages, these walls.
Womanhood.
But you think, like, I'm always intrigued to, like, think that, you know, you said, like, even though that is such a cross that you had to carry on, I'm like, you probably always knew it in, like, your heart center, but now being a creative, do you think that, like, pushes you to, like, make more, like, experimental art?
100%. I think when you find
box, break
when,
that wall,
yeah,
you know?
When you find the thing that's right, like, it's definitely kind of like a knock-on effect. Mm. Like, I dabbled with creativity for the longest time. Like, even when I did go to UCD and I did that, like, drama as part of the other stuff, like, it was because I was trying to, like, be in both worlds, you know?
But it
still wasn't, like, fitting right for me. Like, even, I did acting for a while, and I loved film, and I loved, like, looking at it, but, like, I'm definitely not comfortable, like, being like, the center of, I just don't feel comfortable in it. But I knew I wanted to do something, and then when I found, like, fine art, and... Mm-hmm. I did a lot of random things for a long time. But then it finally fit.
Like, the shoe finally fit.
Yeah, like, it finally made sense. And I was just like, okay, like, I think when you find that, and you have to, like, you know, look at it as, like, it's not straightforward, you know?
But you're, like, do you know what? Neither is life.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody thinks we will have, like, a really, straight, linear, like, path. But it's not. Mm. But I'm also really, really interested because I really, really like your medium art. Because you said, like, growing up, there was this, like, one level of, like, you know, if you cannot draw me a fine print of a banana, then it ain't it, son.
Then you're done.
You're done. No. So tell me about, like, the medium and, like, your process of art. So I know, like, Lena and I, the one thing that we found that really, really stood out is that, like, you make your own, like, paper and stuff towards your art. So do you want to, like, tell, like, a bit, like, about your, like, medium and how you discovered it and how, like, the continuation of how, like, you bring it in.
Yeah, that was something I started for my final year in NCAD. And it was all about, like, so when I was going into final year, we were coming from, like, the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we were coming back into, like, you know, like, life.
Reality.
Yeah. And to be honest, for me, like, it really struck me that, like, we were suddenly just kind of almost ignoring, like, 3 years that had happened. Like, I just felt like we jumped into, like, this very fast pace again. Mm. And everyone was just, like, everyone was too uncomfortable to admit that, like...
We slowed down.
Yeah, you know? I was trying to... I was trying to slow down again through that work. I was trying to, like, just kind of, you know, gather myself and, like, get used to, like, the city again, do you know? Like, because it wasn't the same place, like, after the pandemic.
It's definitely adjusting. And I suppose at that point, like, we were all, like, teenagers at that point. And I feel like even, like, the connection, going back to your connection and art and how you connect with your art and how that connects to, like, the environment that you live in and you work in. I suppose, you know, within the pandemic, like, I think all of us, especially as young adults, we lost that instant connection, and I think we have to find it within ourselves and find expressive medium, whether it be, like, you know, art for you, if it be, you know, dancing for someone else, music, or, you know, and I think that's where the beauty of art in general and arts come alive, because it is the connection to us and everyone.
It's really interesting that you say that, though, because actually the result of, like, that process, it made me basically kind of look at, like, the metamorphosis, like, the transformation that happens when you go through, like, a collective trauma, grief, like, it's actually like it makes you, it like forces you to, like, look at yourself, look at your life, and sort of reestablish like what you're doing that's not working anymore.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
And like that's it's hard. It's not. It's hard to look in the mirror and like, you know, admit yeah. that like maybe I could do something better here. Like
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But then the result of it is like it really is like it's just. It's beautiful, you know?
Yeah. So, and it's yours.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's something...
It never ends either. Which is like...
the philosophy's ticking back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, for God's sake.
It's like, you
existential
know,
crisis, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, it reminds me, what's that song with Billie Eilish that I'm like the worst person for it. This complete side note. You know, like, that song is like... When does it end?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's the Barbie one.
Yeah. It's that's such a weird no, but like, yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, I was listening to her music actually on the car, like in the car on the way down. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so like me. She's. I was like, she is just always me. Like, what the hell is the point?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, talk me through like the paper making process. I think that's something that really
and the cyanotype. I think that's so cool. I love cyanotype.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
What draws you to that process? Yeah.
It was like, actually again, it was based on like this philosophy thing, and it was like the idea that like the sun created time, mm-hmm. and time created a structure, which created this sort of like distance from just very organic kind of living, and like it brought us into a much more like mechanized kind of world, and to kind of claim it back, the sun, and use it as like a collaborator and not relying on technology.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
You know, like kind of, and like this idea of kind of you have a bit of control because you're deciding this is what I'm doing, I'm going to use this, but then it is kind of out of your control. You've left it to nature to kind of decide, you know.
Yeah,
and it's to let go of that sort of like that idea of like I'm going to make this and it's going to look like this and it's going to be perfect.
Yeah, it's going to take me 2 hours and
and like, I suppose, I mean, in one backwards way, it is such a nice philosophy that letting go is having control. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
By like just completely surrendering yourself is like making you something that is bigger than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is lovely.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that you probably try to connect with your audience and your views and the people that observe your art. Like, is that like definitely a message that you
have?
Or is there other like themes that you'd like to present to
people? Well, do you know, it's funny because like, I have my perception of what like my work gives me, and I really don't want to dictate how someone else feels looking at it.
That's also the beauty of art, is that people see different things.
That's it. And I'm like, if that's what you got from it, then that's what I wanted. All I want is like, I mean, maybe it's just a selfish process. Maybe I'm just doing it for myself. And like, if you like it, cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar question that we had about like the significant role of like nature in your practice.
Mm.
And like, how does the natural world like inform your creative practice? And like, is there any like future projects that you are looking forward in like kind of different, maybe different mediums that you want to explore?
I do you know like about like, you know, the socially engaged art movement?
No.
It's like where artists, the goal is to essentially just to connect with like people, you know? And so the artwork is not, it's not like this kind of straightforward thing where it's like, here's my work, here it is on a wall. Love the hat.
I'm wearing my graduation Linger hat.
I also apologise for the intermittent my mic being off because I have really bad hay fever and I keep coughing and sneezing and making disgusting noises.
And I have an ear infection.
You know what? Everybody has those days.
Everybody makes mistakes.
I apologise for coughing in your headphones, people who are listening.
You know what, lads? We are the sun.
I
don't
let you run outside to go blow my nose.
We are women and we are
we're connected to the natural world.
That's it. Oh my god. Art is happening right here, right now.
Art is happening right now.
Performance art.
right now.
Would you ever delve into performance art? You kind of remind me of that artist. What's the what's her name again? You know the artist one? That you've definitely heard of her.
It's not Marina. Marina Abramovic.
Maybe.
She's the queen.
Yeah. Love you know the one that she stood in front of the audience and they let them do whatever.
Marina.
Opt-ins. Yeah, that's you remind me so much of her. You look like her as well. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm retiring.
Life goal I'm achieved.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Did you do performance art then? Tell us
about
that. That's really good.
I did. Do you know, it's actually funny. That definitely ties into the acting that I did.
Yeah,
but
that makes sense.
But it's way more enjoyable for me because, again, it's live. Like, any live performance I did, I absolutely loved it. I was completely, like, I wasn't myself. I was someone else, you know?
You're someone else.
And, yeah.
Escapism.
I totally escaped.
Existentialism.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But, it's... it was definitely, like, a much more comfortable way of performing, doing a live thing. Mm. And the only... I've done one performance, and it was when I was on a residency in Germany.
Class. Where in Germany?
It was in Brandenburg. Ooh. It was in between Berlin
a
and
very
Hamburg.
Very arty city.
Oh, yeah. Brandenburg.
Brandenburg.
It was like this completely rural, just like honestly like farm. It was really self-sufficient. Like they were growing.
Oh, cool.
Such a cool place to make art.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was just a great place to be, you know? Like I remember thinking at the time, like, I'm not making anything. I'm just kind of existing here. But then I looked back and I was like, wait, I actually did a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those places where you totally would, like, get lost, like, you know? Mm. But the performance I did, it was so random. Like, you remember the story about Aisling Murphy?
She was
murdered.
Was awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When that happened, like, you know, like everyone else, I thought about it. I was very upset.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman, you know.
Especially. Being in Ireland where...
Yeah, and like, I mean...
It happens, but it's definitely more, as we were talking how, like, before this, how, like, I feel like everyone in, like, this island is, like, me nanny or me auntie.
Yeah. You know, like,
if that makes sense, like, you know, when something happens, even though, you know... I personally have no personal connection to her, but we have a connection.
But I do. That's the thing.
We do,
that's
you know?
It. Yeah. And that's my point. It's like, that happened. I thought about it and then I completely forgot about it, you know? As we do. Like, I completely never thought of it again. And for some reason, when I was in Germany, I was like reading this book and I was very much chilling. She just popped into my head. And I was just like, oh my God, Aisling. And I was like, couldn't get her out of my head. And I just like, at the time, I was experimenting with body prints. So there's this artist, David Hammonds, and Carly Schneeman. She's another one. And they use their bodies as, like, you know, the medium to print.
Yeah.
So I was really interested in that. And then my performance piece was basically just, like, me trying... It was a body print where I was trying to make it look like a girl dancing. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's not really about the end product.
No.
But the craziest thing about it was that the weather there was, like, amazing, like, the whole time.
Mm.
And then my performance was starting and I, like, you know, kind of, I don't know, did I ring a bell or something? I can't remember. I was like, enter! Like, I'm ready. And,
curtains open.
Yeah. And it just started... lashing rain. Lashing.
That's mad.
And then I was recording it as well, but it was only for my own documentation. I don't think I'll show it. But as soon as I finished, it just like stopped raining. And then we were talking for a while, and then one of the women who run it, Sharon, she was like, it's really weird how it started raining. And I was like, I know, what was that about? And she was like, maybe she was just saying hello. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, because it was proper Irish weather, like, you know.
And
also the residency, like, it was mainly women. Like, there was only two artists, like, who were on, like, the residency, but then there was the women who ran it, and then the women around the area. We were all like feeling very sad after it, you know.
Yeah,
we just had that sort of, you know, sisterhood, and then
it is absolutely. And as you said, like, it's just collective. I think it's just
oh my God, it is.
I think it's just I call it like girl syndrome. Like, yeah, do you know what I mean?
I have that written down. Focuses on post-pandemic landscape and the role of stillness in navigating collective trauma.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's so, and this is like another thing. It's like, I don't know how to describe what my work is about because it's about so many things. There's a huge element of like what it means to be a woman.
Multidisciplinary.
You can hear us.
Hi.
Hello. Aww. Letting it lingers.
Letting them linger.
But yeah, that is crazy though. Yeah, that must have been such a takeaway. And I think those things in your career, definitely, you probably do like still bring that on when you create art.
Like, those past performances, past experiences, does that affect you now? Definitely. I was reading this book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
It's so good.
I need to read it.
You have to read it. It's so... Oh my God.
Book club, lads.
Yeah, oh my God. I'm such a nerd. I'm ahead of my Goodreads school.
She was an A-class student.
I love Goodreads. It's such
I love Goodreads.
I don't know how to describe that.
That is so funny. Bless your little soul.
I'm obsessed.
You know that, like,
my favourite app.
I'm like, yeah, but you know that concept of how, like, we love to document everything, like Letterboxd and, like, Goodreads? Like, I thought that's so interesting. It's because, like, we love... as humans, that kind of thing in the digital age. Like, if I watch a movie and I don't put it on Letterboxd, like, I will forget.
Really? That's your dopamine. That's you trying to get another hit of your dopamine.
Yeah, and same with Goodreads. I'm like, ooh, look, many
me
books
too.
I read.
Yeah. The thing, I don't have beef with it because I'm like, you know what?
I've accepted it now.
Yeah, but I'm also like, it takes time to read a book. So it's not like I'm getting this instant, like, gratification I did this, I did. Do you know? Because, like, a lot of, like, I definitely have my bad habits of that. You know, like, I definitely trying to get something, like, just to get, like, a oof, you know.
Yeah.
So with my Goodreads and my reading and stuff, I'm just like, whatever makes you happy, because it takes a while to read a book, you know.
It does.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the satisfying.
It's not,
thing,
it's not like, but, you know, scrolling on Instagram.
Linking that back to something that she just said, you were like, when you were like, I don't really care what people think about it, because at the end, it's not the end goal. It's not the end. It's always the process, which always
what you learn
and matters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The process and anything. That's what matters, you know.
Yeah, it's nice to, like, talk about it in that way, because sometimes, like, when you're talking about art, like, people really do just want to know, like, what's
this about,
what's the meaning, like, and then when you get abstract about it, they're just like, oh my God, relax.
I find so many people saying that, especially about, like, abstract art and, like, performance art and maybe, like, minimalist art and stuff like that. Like, they just don't get that it doesn't have to have a big meaning.
No.
And, like,
no,
even that about tattoos, like, people ask me that all the time. So I have, like, 12 or 13, I'm losing count, tattoos. Yeah. And people are like, what does that mean? And I'm like, It looks nice. That's what it means.
Yeah,
it's a cool little moth on my arm. That's what it means. You know, like, nothing has to have deep meaning.
Yeah,
everything in life can be so serious. We're always, like, upset over the mistakes we make and everything. Yeah. But, like, nothing actually matters that much.
Yeah,
you know? take it easy.
That would actually if I was gonna describe it as anything, it's about, like, just this, like, just the present.
Just this being
in the moment. Yeah,
so it's like even. Like, as I was, like, making it, it's like, well, that's over now. That's done.
Yeah.
This is different.
Did you study any Japanese philosophy when you're doing philosophy?
I did, I think.
Yeah.
What are you thinking of?
I'm just thinking that your practice kind of reminds me of Taoist principles.
That's it. I was trying the Tao Te Ching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My really good friend, Catherine
and also
Ward.
Also an artist.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello,
girl.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Kate.
She got me onto the Tao Te Ching. She's so smart. She also, like, she saw all those, like, similarities between, like, Japanese philosophy and stuff. But, like, I mean, also, papermaking is an ancient, like, you know. Actually, sorry, it's a Chinese process that started in China. It was one of the four great, like, inventions.
Yeah.
It's actually really interesting, but anyway.
But I've seen videos of people doing that.
Yeah.
I'm studying Japanese philosophy of art and aesthetics at the moment.
Oh.
So we're doing, like, dry landscape gardens, calligraphy, like, landscape painting, tea ceremonies, and, like, Renku poetry and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all about, like, the stillness and being in the moment and, like, the absence of the self and letting go of the self.
Oh my gosh.
And
it's crazy.
All of that. So, when you're talking about your art,
really,
it kind of reminds me of that.
Oh, that's nice. Because it definitely,
like, non being and
that.
Non speaking and non action and all of those.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Non being. I think that's, if I could describe it in one word, it's that. It's just like,
Yeah.
I don't exist.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And this doesn't exist. Like, it's, you know, yeah.
Makes no sense. Is actually in your imagination. That reminds me of our friend Shanna. Our friend Shanna is, oh, bless, I love them, but they're always like, I don't exist.
They'd be like,
we did when we went to Morocco together in January, and we had, have you ever heard like a white lies party? No, this is slightly off topic again, but basically, like, you write down something that you are, or but
as
like
a white lie.
As a white lie, but like basically, so like Shanna wrote like, I am completely present. I absolutely exist. But like, because they're always in, I don't exist. Nothing matters. It's like that funny thing.
This is the thing. No, like, literally, that's the sort of stuff that we would be, like, we'd be in our tutorials, like, in philosophy and stuff. And like, they, like, our tutors would be dropping bombs of, like, basically suggesting, like, maybe you don't exist. And then, just leaving it there. Yeah. Letting it linger.
That's what I was doing last year as well. I did Chinese philosophy and phenomenology of mind and consciousness.
Yeah, and I started this because I was like, great.
So interesting though. I love it. I wrote an essay on the like embodied experience of women and how that differs and like how the gendered body.
Is it available?
Yeah.
I want to read it.
You can read it.
We're all going to read it. Book club.
Yeah.
Oh, you should.
I published one of my essays for English already. That's the benefits of being an editor for a magazine. I just published my own work.
That's it. It's out there. We're all trying to make a move in a non-existing path.
Oh, no. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. Yeah, it's definitely informed my like day-to-day life and...
That's actually a module that Helena and I both take in feminist philosophy. Ooh. We both take feminist philosophy this year for the first time ever.
How are we thinking?
Because see, Helena definitely, I think, so me and Helena, we always
My degree is half philosophy, half English, to be fair.
And Kriva's
is geography, politics.
So I study geography and politics.
Sorry.
Got the next president right next to me.
Mine is just like wishy-washy. I like to read Jane Eyre and Dracula.
I think about existence. I'm going to think about everything that doesn't matter.
Like, in a degree, like, I've always been interested. Like, my medium of art is communication through my words.
I love that.
And then that's how I thrive human connection with my life. And I think that stems my degree within politics and geography. Politics to see how we communicate with each other, mm-hmm. and then geography and how us as humans communicate with our environment.
That's so cool.
But it's really, it's so funny that she mentioned that even, and it even ties in to, you know, Ashley Murphy, what we were saying, mm-hmm. is that like, you took more of like a philosophical role on like the embodiment of a woman, and I took it on more of like a connection role. So I'm studying how people, like the words that
we could choose our own essay topic,
like
basically.
the linguistics and how that can be used in like the political arena of feminism. Mm. So, you know,
there's a lot of freedom in the module, which is really great, which is so nice.
Like, because I'm only taking it as a politics module. I remember lots of love to my tutor. So I was like, I'm really not like, I love philosophy, but this is the first ever, well, second ever philosophy thing that I've ever done. And she was like, I'm sorry.
She's so funny. In the first class, she was like, philosophy is depression. We're going to do a little thinking, and thinking is crazy. And I was like, okay, I love you.
No, I'm not joking. Watch me 10 years' time. I will be that person.
And girl,
I'd love that.
You'll be a frame on my wall.
I need to start that essay, actually. I think I'm going to do it on, like the gendered bodily experience and how that affects our experience in the world.
Read the body
and
keeps the score.
Yeah, I should. And also, like, how to define femininity. That's like my main headline. And then, like, how intersex experience and assigned sex at birth and hysterectomies and mastectomies affect feminine value and how they affect someone's experience of femininity.
Yeah.
So I was watching a movie.
Would you relate it to, like, that idea of like energy and, you know, those things that like aren't really palpable?
Yeah, almost. And kind of like how it's a feeling and how we like define it and why we define it in that way, and also how like how we hold so tightly onto it. And I was watching a movie, and a woman, she had a hysterectomy and a mastectomy because of like there was water pollution, so she got some diseases. And she was like, how am I even a woman? And it's like, obviously she is a woman, but also why? Like, because women are so often defined by their biological value. She has no biological value as a woman anymore because she doesn't have a uterus or she doesn't have breasts. So she was like, I don't feel like a woman.
What are you?
But she's still a woman. She's still feminine. But why? So that's kind of my whole essay.
You should use her as a case study. That is...
Wow, there's a few case studies.
We are much more than biology.
No, but that's the thing. I mean...
It's true, isn't it?
It's, it's like... I think definitely, like, now people are definitely looking at, like... this idea of the self in a much broader way, which is good, because you know, when it was so narrowly focused on biology, there was a lot of people who were suffering because of that and with their identity. So
And do you think over, I remember you said like you started during and slash after the pandemic, do you think during the pandemic that was your like self like looking in and like being like, this is something that means something more than me?
I didn't start this particular project during it. I started it after. So I think that like my experience of life during it was like just a research that I wasn't aware that I was doing. Like, but that's the thing. It's like there's a lot of things that you don't realize.
Is this the project that you're working on in Flux Studios?
Yeah, it's, well, it's just this ongoing project that I like. It's, I started it when I was in final year in NCAD, and I've just kept going with it because it still feels right.
That's good.
You know, like I remember thinking, I was like, I should move on to something else. And I was like, it still feels right with me though. You know, it still feels like it aligns with like a lot of things I care about. And also like, it just seems to evolve. Like, even though it's pretty consistent in like the materials and stuff like that, but it does kind of evolve like with me. But I really do want to, like, I think I would like to get into performance art, and I would definitely like to look into socially engaged art. Because the idea behind that is like, it's not really a visual outcome, it's more about like an experience,
an emotional outcome as well.
Just an experience. There's one of my favorite pieces is by this artist called Rikrit Tervanija, and I can't remember what year it might have been, in the late 90s, but it was very radical, like, for the time. And he was like, he had this spot in this, you know, proper traditional white space gallery. And, you know, they, I think they thought he was going to, you know, show up with a painting or something. But instead, he showed up. He showed up with, like a lot of cooking materials. And he made pad thai. The work's called Pad Thai.
I remember seeing a performance art documentary, and they just like taped a banana to the wall with duct tape. And I was like, that's my art. And it sold for like 2 million or something.
That is crazy.
But the thing is that like, it's not like, it's like they're not looking at that. Like, I mean, if it annoys people, like that, again, like that outcome, it ended up being like worth that much money. It's still actually actively being an artwork because it's annoying people.
Art is meant to make people feel things, and they can be negative and positive.
Especially socially engaged art.
And I can't remember, the name slips and the gallery just slip away from me, but there was this gallery recently that I was looking at. I was reading an article where they created this like women's only drawing room. And within that like area, they actually excluded like men and like women. So they were like, okay, you can come in. And they had like an own separate place where they would kind of be like, you know, they'd have like these male servers like handing like bottles of like water around. And anyways, this one man got really, really agitated that it was a women's only space and took it to court.
I'm so surprised.
And now, although now the artist who created that, although they didn't win the court case, she said that wasn't the point. The point wasn't to win. The point was to actually validate when, like, that's how angered he got. That was actually the end goal.
Yeah.
The separation was actually the end goal, because it was actually showing how women are treated in society. And like the anger that we...
I need to look into that.
I can't remember that. It was this guy. I can't remember the name. Just slipped me. I'll have a look at it afterwards.
America or...
Not too sure. I don't think it was, but she said, like, she wrote a piece and she said, "I'm glad they took us to court." Oh, because that was the end goal.
I love
female
artists. That's what I love as well, is art installations that are like, it's also an experience. My mom's friend Jill, she studied art. Like, she started studying it only when she was like in her 40s, and she started creating her collection, and she was adopted when she was a baby. Mm. So she made it on like the Mothers and Babies crisis that we had in Ireland as well. And really she had on Shirkin Island, she had a house, so each house was like an exhibition. So she had this one individual house, and you went in and all you could hear was like ultrasound, like beeping heartbeat.
It's amazing.
And then you walked in, and hanging from the ceiling there was loads of little communion dresses.
Oh my god.
And in all the sinks were little pebbles, and each pebble was a baby who was killed.
What's her name? Did you say her name?
Jill Gordon.
I've seen this piece before. Sorry.
Yeah, and it was just amazing. And all and there was like loads of projectors on the walls. It was like projecting like the adoption registries, and each like pebble in the sink, like with dripping water, that's all you could hear. So it was really eerie, and it was really like provoking emotion, and it was just unreal. Like how like that was just it, that like when I saw that I was like, wow, this is such art, because like you're in the house and you're experiencing this. That's why I love like art installations as well.
I just think it's so nice when you find something that like just really gets you, and you're like, wow, like this is actually like one of my favorite pieces is by Louise Bourgeois. Do you know her?
I've heard of that. Yeah,
she's my queen. I love her so much. But her piece Mammon, obviously you probably know the big spiders.
Yeah.
I was looking into it more. I mean, I've loved that piece for years, but for whatever reason, I looked into it more like a month ago or something, and I was just like, I was just reading more about her. I'm always like researching her. Like I feel like no matter how much time I spend like reading her books or like looking at her art or whatever, like I just still, there's always something I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the last time I was looking into her, it was just like, you know, definitely got more of an understanding of her relationship with her mom versus her dad, and how that like influenced her work so much. Mm-hmm. And like her dad like was having an affair, and like basically her mom was just like her best friend.
Bless.
And then Mammon is like, she made it I think only very shortly after her mom died. And I was crying for like, you know, too long, because I was looking at it and I was just like, oh my god, like she's literally just captured like the huge presence that her mom, like, because they're massive installations, like, you know, they're these, and there's and it's like, why is it so scary? And it's like, oh, is she that scared of like living her life without her mom? And I think like, I think the reason it made me so emotional, because that's how I feel. I'm like,
yeah.
She's my best friend. You
bless. Shout out to Rachel's mom.
Shout out to mom. Rose.
Hi, mom. Hi, Rachel's mom. But definitely. And I think that is, again, it just draws back to the connection that we have as women, as artists, as people, as humans. Do you know what I mean? And it's that connection that we strive to have within ourselves, and that us as humans, our foundational need, like going back to the Ice Age, like our foundational need of community and network.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, for survival. Yeah. It's so funny, like I actually always forget that.
Like there is this Irish saying that it's one of those Shanoaks that says, "Under the shelter of others we survive."
Yeah. Oh my god, that's my favourite Shanoak.
And
Scathacheila Mahanadin.
But and that's exactly like, for under the shelter of each other we will always survive, you know what I mean? If it's the shelter of, you know, like me and Lainey's friendship,
it takes a village
a bloody village. Like, it takes a village, you know what I mean? We all lean on people, you know what I mean? We're all just dominoes, like.
Yeah, but it's interesting, if you think about it, like we're literally, it's like an animal instinct, do you know? Like it's just like animalistic.
Pack animals.
Yeah.
It's like we're not so different from, you know, like thinking we're like, because we've got consciousness, like whatever.
We're so individualistic and stuff.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I love about how we mentioned like Japanese philosophy, that's or like Eastern philosophy. There's a lot less focus on individualism and autonomy. It's kind of more that like we're all connected and we're all one big consciousness.
They're very collective.
And I love that. Yeah, I love that, especially from an artistic point of view.
Yeah, and I, like, I don't know, I just feel like it makes sense.
Yeah.
The more I kind of thought about it, I was like, wait, like, obviously, I was, like, on the bus the other day in Dublin.
Oh, the bus thoughts are so philosophical.
The C4 bus thoughts that I had, like,
I come up with the best pieces on the 145, like.
Yeah.
I'll stop the 145.
Yeah, classic. Stop. Classic bus, like, yeah. You should do the installation on the bus.
On the bus. Yeah, we're just driving. Oh, my God, my socially engaged piece. I'll just drive the bus.
That'd be a really cool thing you could actually do. Like, mob art.
Oh my mob, god.
Yeah, Brian. Flash mob.
Yeah. You know, flash mob.
You just start ringing your bell again.
Panic paper. Everybody dance.
And it's like, do.
Everybody.
Oh my god.
Bring it back.
Yeah, no.
That was like a thing in the 2000s, wasn't it? Like,
I loved those flash movies.
Flash mobs so popular.
Oh, you know those movies? Like, are they called Step Up? Like dance,
just like Just Dance.
Step Up.
No, the movies.
You know, yeah.
It was like 10 of them.
There was so many.
That was competing
with Grey's Anatomy for a while.
Channing Tatum's in that.
Yeah.
And he's dancing his life away.
And like James Rabon or.
Yeah.
I forget his name now.
Yeah. Those movies, though, I was like, they're so good.
You know what I watched the other day is How to Lose a Man in 10 Days by Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey.
That dress. Yellow dress.
They're my parents.
Yeah.
I swear.
And it's like that canary.
I love
them
together. So funny. I love movies like that. I don't make them anymore.
I know. Bring back Matthew McConaughey in rom-coms.
Yeah,
that's
please.
All I'm saying.
He's still like,
he's always doing these scary things.
He's a 10, but he does scary movies.
I haven't seen him in anything really now. Oh, Interstellar. Was he an Interstellar?
Oh my god, he's so...
He's so funny.
Every time I just see a photo of that scene of him crying.
Yeah, like, I watched it like when it came out, like with my dad, and I cried.
Ooh, I love the soundtrack.
My dad's
it
was so sad.
The Hans Zimmer soundtrack.
Father daughter thing.
You know, Hans Zimmer. Okay.
I really forget the main gist of it now because it's been so long.
Oh my god.
I need to rewatch
it. It's one of those movies that I've watched too many times that I just like.
It's like 3 hours long. Oh my god.
But you know at the end, not to spoil.
I'm a chronic TV show binger, so it's okay. No, I'll watch 10 hours of a TV show, but a 2 hour movie, too long.
I'll watch a 3 hour movie that I've seen before over like a 40 minute episode or something.
Really? I'm like, I will watch a full 8 episode series with 1 hour long episode over a movie
because I'm like I don't have to engage my brain too much, like I know what happens and I kind of only have to tune in.
I find that that's the only way to engage me is because of the cliffhangers. Whereas when a movie I know it's going to end in an hour, so I'm going to turn off.
Is really funny. That's like I'm on like my 9th time watching Friends. Like I'm like
never really? Watched like Friends the whole way through.
No,
I think I'm
genuinely on my 9th time rewatching the whole every single episode.
I always watch
because it's just comfort at this point. I actually couldn't give a care in the world.
Have you ever seen Gilmore Girls?
Oh, I love Gilmore Girls.
You know what? Only seen a few episodes of that. I'm the opposite then.
I love the fashion.
It's my comfort show. I started watching Sex in the City though, and it's
I need to start that. That's what I'm going for with my hair is Carrie Bradshaw.
You're giving Carrie. You really are.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Like I'm trying to give that with my hair. I need to get it more blonde.
So big and curly.
Yeah, I need to get it dyed more so
we need
more
to.
I don't know.
Yeah, because it goes like out to here with curls.
Huge. I know.
I need it more blonde.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It looks beautiful.
We'll see.
Yeah. And the top is very carry.
Yeah.
She's
I'm wearing like flared sweatpants and a stripy bandeau top. Like I feel like a different person every day because I wear like different style every day. Like I'll be in jeans and a baby tee and then I'll be in like a maxi dress and boots or random.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it's
so
though.
Fun to be a
it
girl.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This morning and I was like, pick my outfit with me.
It's like, what character am I today?
Yeah. Oh, I wish I had one of those clueless things.
Oh, the clueless thing.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So
yeah, iconic. You could try to do that. Although compared to me, the things
they have apps for that, but it just takes.
They
much
do.
Effort.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I want the cool.
I'm not really that willing to scan.
I just
all
can't. No, that's it.
No.
Like, take a photo of like no
every
take
single item. Every I have too many clothes
sock
as well.
I own, like.
I'm such a perfectionist that I know that if they weren't all like the same
they
format.
They have to be PNGs with them, no background. Yeah, that just takes way too much effort.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise I'll go crazy. And I'll be like,
otherwise,
you know, crazy.
That's what I had to do for my jewelry when I was putting it on the website. I'm making a new. Oh. No, I don't like Depop. I'm making a cargo site actually.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay for it. So I asked my professor to email Cargo Site to get it for free because I'm a student.
Yeah,
and it actually worked.
Oh, girl, I wish
they need to give me the passcode.
I wish I knew about this before I graduated because I was like, I made my website for my grad show. Yeah. And like,
it's like, how much is it a year though? 100 or something?
It's actually not that much.
Yeah, no, it's actually grand.
I can't remember.
It's worth
a direct debit.
Cargo, if you're listening.
Hi, guys.
Hello. We're on the radio.
They're on a
table. Oh, wow.
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, is it just me?
No,
sorry.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
My God, yeah. I'm a celebrity. What can I say?
Yeah. Thank you.
I love we've got little Alvin.
And yeah.
Alvin the chipmunk is just on a vinyl
player for some reason.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, again.
Oh my God.
Put on the hats.
I think we're really doing something here.
Yeah. You know they can hear
this
every word we're saying.
This is the movement, girls. This is the making.
So you guys just put bye.
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 Thank you. Follow us on Instagram. Letting it linger.
Follow us.
Bye.
Bye.
That's funny because they can also hear us outside as well.
How loud is this? Like
quite loud. It's quite like loud. It's clear. Like
hello. Like
we should prank everyone.
Scream.
Evacuate.
Oh my god, danger. Like that's all I can think of.
That's so funny.
Like, I'm so scared. Someone said it's danger.
They're keeping me captive.
I think if I hear that, I'd just be like
forcing me to linger. Sorry. We're a bit delirious. We haven't had lunch yet.
Yeah.
I haven't either. Do they do nice food on campus here?
Yeah, we can actually go somewhere if you want.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Sultan Delights or no?
Oh, what's that is cute.
Yeah, it's a cafe up the road. They do nice pasta. It's Italian.
Yeah. Oh, Italian food's the best.
Mm. Is it Sultan Delights? No.
My opinion.
No.
We'll see.
Sicilian Delights.
Sicilian. No, not Sultan.
What
that's Turkish.
Sultan, Sultan is that like Turkish like, Lebanese place, but it is very good as
Sultan
well.
Sultan of Swing, Dire Straits coming up.
Oh, stop. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, my God. We're putting that on now. Okay, wait. Okay. Well, because given that we're almost on the interview, is up.
We can end it here.
Gravware.
Oh, thank you, girls.
You're
doing something great here. Let me just say.
Gravware.
Yeah, it's super cool. I love it.